Gopirana Vallava Yirvanadari Kasodananana Vradarana Randana Yasoda na 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 brada dana rana na Tamunati anacharya Tamunati anacharya Jayo Radha Madhava Kunjavyari Jayo Radha Madhava Kunjavyari Gopirana Vallava Yirvanadari Gopirana Vallava Yirvanadari Tasoda na 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 brada na na ranja na Yasoda na 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 brada na na ranja na Jamunati avanacharya Kamunati Havanacharya Jayo Radha Madhava Kunjavyarya Jayo Radha Madhava
Jaya Vishnupad, Paramahansa Prabhupada Asadara Sadhuchi Shiman, His Divine Grace Lacey, Bhaktivedanta Swami Raj, Srila Prabhupada Kija, Gaur Premanande, all glorious to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Sri Guranga, Namo Vishnu Vidaya Krishna Prasthavita, Sri Mate Bhaktivedanta Swami Tanavane, Namaste Sarasvandeve, Gauravani Vijarne, Nirvisesa Shunivari Paskatya Desitarne. Om Agena Divanandasya Gananjana Salakaya, Chaksun Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha, Shri Chaitanya Manovishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutle Swayam Rupa Kadam Ayam Dadati Swapadantikam Pandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Parakamalam Shri Gurum Vaishnavam Scha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Virajana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam, Shri Radha Krishna Padan, Sahagana Lalita Shiva Sakansvitamscha,
Hare Krishna, Karna Sindo, Dinabando, Jagatpate, Gopesha, Gopika, Kanta, Radha, Kanta, Namostute, Tapta Kanchana Gorangi, Radhe Vrindavaneshri, Vrishuvanu Sutta Devi, Pranamami Hari Priye, Vanchakapa Tiruvyascha, Kripa Sinuvyevacha, Patidanam Bhavanevyo, Vaishnavevyo Namo Namaha, Shri Krishna Chaitanya Pranitananda, Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasati Gaur Bhaktivrinda, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate
Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 5, Prahlad, the saintly son of Hiranyakashipu, text number 5. Shri Parado Vacha, Tatsadu Manye Surya Varya Dehinam, Tada Samudvigna Diyama Satkrahat, Hidvatma Patam Griham Andakupam, Vanam Gato Yadarim Ashrayeta, Shri Prahlado Vacha, Tatsadu Manye Surya Varya Dehinam, Sada Samud Vigna Diyama Satkrahat, Hidvatma Patam Griham Andakupam, Vanam Gato Yadarim Ashrayeta. Shri Parado Vacha. Prahlad Maharaj replied, Tat that Sadhu, very good or the best part of life. Manye, I think. Asurya Varya, O King of the Asuras. Dehinam, of persons who have accepted the material body. Sada, always. Samudvigna, full of anxieties. Diyam, whose intelligence. Asat Grahat, because of accepting the temporary body. Or bodily relations as real. Thinking, I am this body, and everything belonging to this body is mine. Hitva, giving up. Atma Patam, the place where spiritual culture or self-realization is stopped. Griham, the bodily concept of life or household life. Andakupam, which is nothing but a blind well, where there is no water, but no one, but one nevertheless searches for water. Vanam, to the forest. Gata, going. Yat, which? Harim, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Ashrayeta, may take shelter of. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Prahlad Maharaj replied, O best of the Asuras, King of the Demons, as far as I have learned from my spiritual master, any person who has accepted a temporary body
and temporary household life is certainly embarrassed by anxiety, with having fallen in a dark well where there is no water but only suffering. One should give up this position and go to the forest Vana. More clearly, one should go to Vrindavan, where only Krishna consciousness is prevalent, and should thus take shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Purport. Hiranyakashipu thought that Prahlad, being nothing but a small boy, with no actual experience, might reply with something pleasing, but nothing practical. Prahlad Maharaj, however, being an exalted devotee, had acquired all the qualities of education. Yasyasti bhaktir bhagavat akinchana savaragunais tatra samasate sura harava bhaktasya kuto mahaguna manorate nasati dhavato vahi. One who has unflinching faith, devotional faith in Krishna, consistently manifests all the good qualities of Krishna and the demigods. However, he who has no devotion to the Supreme Personality of Godhead has no good qualifications because he is engaged by mental speculation and material existence, which is the external feature of the Lord. The Bhagavatam 5.18.12. So-called educated philosophers and scientists who are simply on the mental platform cannot distinguish between what is actually sat, eternal, and what is asat, temporary. The Vedic conjunction is asat, asato ma jyotir gama. Everyone should give up the platform of temporary existence and approach the eternal platform. The soul is eternal, and topics concerning the eternal soul are actually knowledge. Elsewhere it is said, apashyatam atmatatvam griheshu grihamedinam. Those who are attached to the bodily conception of life and who thus stick to life as a grihasta or a householder on the platform of material sense enjoyment cannot see the welfare of the eternal soul. Prahlad Maharaj confirmed this by saying that if one wants success in life, he should immediately understand from the right sources what his self-interest is and how he should mold his life in spiritual consciousness. One should understand himself to be part and parcel of Krishna and thus completely take shelter of the lotus feet for guaranteed success. Everyone in the material world is in the bodily conception, struggling hard for existence, life after life. Prahlad Maharaj therefore recommended that to stop this material condition of repeated birth and death, one should go to the forest, Vana. In the Vanashram system, one first becomes a brahmachari, then a grihasta, a vanaprastha, and finally a sannyasi. Going to the forest means accepting vanaprastha life, which is between grihasta life and sannyas. As confirmed in the Vishnu Purana, vanashrama acharvataha purushena parakpuman vishnur aradyate. By accepting the institution of vana and ashram, one can very easily elevate himself to the platform of worshipping Vishnu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Otherwise, if one remains in the bodily conception, one must rot within this material world, and his life will be a failure. Society must have divisions of Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya, and Shudra, and for spiritual advancement, one must gradually develop as a Brahmachari, Grihastha, Vanaprastha, and Sannyasi. Prahlad Maharaj recommended that his father accept Vanaprastha life because as a Grihastha, he was becoming increasingly demoniac due to bodily attachment. Prahlad recommended to his father that accepting Vanaprastha life would be better than going deeper and deeper into Griham Andakupam, the blind well of life as a Grihastha. In our Krishna consciousness movement, we therefore invite all the elderly persons of the world to come to Vrindavan and stay there in retired life, making advances in spiritual consciousness, Krishna consciousness. Shri Prahlad Uvacha Tat Sarumanye Surya Varya Dehinam Sadasabud Vignas Asdiyama Satkrahat Hitvatma Patam Griham Andakupam Vanam Gato Yad Darim Ashayeta. Prahlad Maharaj replied, O best of the Asuras, King of the Demons, as far as I have learned from my spiritual master, any person who has accepted a temporary body and temporary household life is certainly embarrassed by anxiety because of having fallen in a dark well, for there is no water but only suffering. One should give up this position and go to the forest, Vana. More clearly, one should go to Vrindavan, for only Krishna consciousness is prevalent, and should thus take shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Paristhaya Bhutaye Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Tanamane Namaste Sarasvatam Deve Gauravani Vicharane Nirvisesa Shrunivari Paskatya Te Sitarane. The Bhagavad Gita Krishna says, Yani Shasara Bhutanam Tasyam Jagrati Bhutani Yasyam Jagrati Bhutani Sani Shapashito Mune. That what is night for all beings is the time of awakening for the self-control, and the time of awakening for all beings is the night for the introspective sage. In other words, there's always a difference of opinion between those who are seeking for self-realization and those who are after sense gratification. That we should not think that we can make friends with everyone. That by nature, in this world, there is always a difference of opinion between those who are asuras, devotees of Krishna, and those who are asuras, or against Krishna. Therefore, in the material world, the eternal principle is that the asuras and the asuras, they'll always fight against each other. So here we have a picture of Lord Nrisimhadev killing Hiranyakashipu. This picture was brought to one trial. The devotees were accused of brainwashing one girl, and because of that, her father died of a heart attack. So the picture was brought in, and here it was shown that this is the god that these devotees worship. This boy, Prahlad, was a devotee. He was brainwashed by Narada Muni. And just to please him, their god came and ripped his father apart. And while his god was ripping him apart, then Prahlad was very joyful and is presenting the killer with a garland. So this is shown to prove the devotee's mentality. That even their own parents, they pray that God will come and rip apart their own parents. When he does come, they become very joyful. So this is very hard for the materialist to understand. If someone comes to the temple and they see the picture of Lord Nrisimhadev, and you say, who's that? And you say, that's God. That's our God. What is he doing? Well, he's ripping apart one of the parents of one of the devotees. Therefore, one has to understand what Hiranyakashipu means. Of course, materialists will never understand or will not appreciate. Haranya means gold and Kashipu means soft bed. And Prahlad, Prakrishtarupena, Prahlada, Alada. So Prahlad means Alada or bliss. And Pra means the highest. So Prahlad means the highest bliss. Prahlad, when Hiranyakashipu went to perform austerities for 140 years of the demigods and was standing on the tips of his toes to get his material desires fulfilled. And at that time, all the ants had built, he was there for such a long time performing austerities with his hands in the air that the ants came and built anthills around him. And gradually they ate his body up, so the only thing left was a skeleton. But due to the fact that he had knowledge of mystic yoga, he was maintaining his life air within his body. So we can see from that is that the bodily conception of life is so strong that even if only you have left is a skeleton, still, if you're a demon, you'll still identify yourself with it. That his body was ate up, and all he had is a skeleton, but he maintained his life here there. Therefore, we can understand if one goes to a cemetery, why there are still ghosts hanging around. That as long as the skeleton is there, people will think, well, I look a little thin, but... it's still, it's me. So, at that time, when Hiranyakashipu was performing his austerity, the demigods headed by Indra, they attacked the demons and they defeated them. So generally, in a war, when the soldiers defeat the opposite party, they generally exploit. They rape the women and they take all the treasure or whatever is in the other side. But the demigods were a little bit more cultured. They didn't do such things, but they wanted to take the wife of Hiranyakashipu and wait for her child to be born so that they could kill him. Because they thought Hiranyakashipu was a big demon, so his son is probably going to be a big demon also. But Narada Muni came at that time and he told the demigods that within the womb of this woman, Kayadu, is a great devotee. And that even if you wanted to kill him, that you would not be able to because he'll always be protected by Lord Krishna. Immediately the demigods, they circumambulated the Hiranyakashipu's wife because they were demigods. And therefore, even though it was a demon, but still because he was a great Mahabhagavata, therefore they showed him proper respect. And he took the wife, Narada Muni took Hiranyakashipu's wife and took her to the ashram, his ashram, and instructed her. Is this the play? Is this what the play is about? Well, we won't tell the whole story. I don't want to spoil the play. Instructed her about spiritual life, and Prahlad was in the womb and he listened because he had nothing else to do. He listened for the instructions for so many years, and then finally, his wife also had the benediction from Narada Muni that while her husband was away, Prahlad wouldn't be born. So Prahlad remained in the womb for so many years, and finally, hearing all these instructions, he became a perfectly Krishna-conscious devotee. Therefore, one day, when Hiranyakashipu, wanting to find out what Prahlad had learned in school, who's ever doing the Torahs today will probably have a lot to explain. Everyone seems happy. The snakes are happy. Hiranyakashipu, Lord Nrisimhadeva is happy. Prahlad's happy. But Hiranyakashipu looks peaceful, at least. Prahlad was preaching that you'll never become happy as long as you're a demon, but take shelter of Lord Krishna, at least you'll become peaceful. So he looks free from anxiety, at least. Therefore, he asked, what is the best thing you've learned in school? So Prahlad Maharaj said, the best thing I've learned in school here is that you're a fool. That you're so much absorbed in the bodily conception of life that you don't know how to become free from anxiety. That the materialist is one who thinks that the platform of happiness is in the bodily conception of life enjoying sense gratification. A soft bed and material opulence are goals. But the fact is that because it's different from the soul, this type of happiness, one can never really achieve happiness, one simply achieves anxiety. Achintyam aparayam cha pralayantam upashitya kama paboga paramam etavam iti nischita. That they believe that to gratify the senses unto the end of life is the prime necessity for human civilization, and therefore there is no measurement for their anxiety. Prahlad Maharaj yet later on says that Naiva dvije pradratya vaitranyaswa virya gayana mahamrita magnichitak so chevi mukachetasa indriyarta maya sukayam udvahato bharam vimura. So he says that persons who have this type of understanding about life, they're vimudhas. They're the biggest. Muda means ass, and V means super. So they're super asses. Because they have a conception of life based upon the fact they think that by improving materialistic civilization, they can actually become advanced and happy. But instead of becoming advanced and happy, it's bara. It's simply created a big burden. As we can see, the more advanced the civilization is, then the more burden they have to present society, more or less, is based on the false prestige of the fact that they've built these motor cars and these airplanes. So in order to maintain these motor cars, which is nothing, doesn't do anything more than your 2 feet can do. It just does it a little faster in a much more dangerous way. But in order to maintain it, they built these roads at the cost of billions of dollars. And to maintain it, they have to, everywhere you look when you're traveling down the highway, then what they're doing is so many people are just maintaining the roads. We're trying to build more because they, just like in Poland, we were traveling in Poland. So the roads aren't so good, but there's hardly any cars. And in many places in, say, Germany, the roads are very good, but there's so many cars that you can't travel any faster than in Poland. Because the whole highway is full of cars. So they have these cars, they have to maintain them. Everywhere there is gas stations. Everywhere there are mechanics, because the cars always break down. And practically, a good percentage of the civilization is all based upon this car. Drilling for the oil, transporting the oil, pumping the oil, making the cars, insurance for the cars, maintaining the cars, picking up the people who have crashed in the cars and bringing them to the hospital. So many people are meditating on this car. And as I said before, this is called aham car. I am the car. So due to this mistaken identity of identifying with a car, everyone is working hard in the so-called advanced civilization. But we can see that people have not become any more happy or satisfied because one is living in a so-called technological civilization with all these cars or these airplanes, which is just a more sophisticated type of metal vehicle. Because the whole basis is this mistake that happiness is achieved through the process of sense gratification. Because after all, what does the car do? It simply brings you from one place where you get one kind of sense gratification to another place where you can get another type of sense gratification. People are thinking that previously we could only eat some dead animal from our neighborhood. Now we can eat some dead animal from 5,000 miles away. and this is advanced civilization. That our dead animals are probably not as tasty as someone else's dead animals. And on the basis of this, they're working so hard, trying to enjoy different varieties of sense gratification in different parts of the world. But it's the same taste. Whether one drinks water out of a gold pot or out of an iron pot, the taste of the water is the same. So similarly, sense gratification, whether it's here on this material planet or even in the higher planets of the demigods or in hell, it's the same taste for sense gratification. Therefore, if one actually wants to come to the platform of blissful life, which is represented by Prahlad Maharaj, one has to become free from this anxiety, this hankering for sense gratification, represented by Hiranyakashipu. That although Hiranyakashipu had achieved predominance over the whole universe, and he had unlimited facilities for sense gratification, still he was full of anxiety. You find in the Krishna book, persons who become very powerful have gotten all the achievements that a materialist would desire, like Banasura. Banasura had 10,000, had 1,000 arms as a benediction from Lord Shiva. So although Banasura had 1,000 arms, and of course at that time he must have been the world's heavyweight champion. He was a great fighter and no one could block his punches. So although he was such a powerful personality, still he was completely in anxiety because he couldn't, he had gotten this benediction because he wanted to fight with someone, but every time he went to fight with someone, they'd run away. Therefore, he took to the occupation of going to mountains and beating them with his hands and breaking them into little stones, pebbles. One day he went to Lord Shiva and challenged him, "Let me fight with you." And he said, "There's no need to fight with me." He said, soon someone will come and he'll smash your pride to pieces and your flag of victory will no longer fly. So hearing this, Banasura became very elated, joyful, thinking that someone actually is going to come and smash me to pieces. Because we may think, when one is less advanced materially, that advancement of civilization will make me happy. But those who are actually experiencing advancement of material civilization for sense gratification without any regulation, completely against the laws of nature, what they're experiencing is simply anxiety. If one goes to America, one will see that people are much more in anxiety there than practically anywhere else in the world. So much so that people can't even walk out on the street at night. As soon as the sun goes down, only the thieves and rogues who are trying to look for other people to, other thieves and rogues to steal from, are out in the street. It becomes simply a jungle. And during the day, all day long, all you can hear is sirens. Prabhupada used to remark even 30 years ago that all day long you hear sirens, the police are coming, going there and there, the ambulances are going here and there. Everywhere you hear is sirens. So much noise, so much pollution, so much disturbance. Even your one is being attacked on the street, people will stand around and watch, but no one will do anything. Simply some interesting thing going on. And this is so-called advancement of civilization. People have become callous. They've become full of anxiety. People are running here and there just to get some money so that they can, they think, I'm making so much money, they're very proud, we're making thousands and thousands of dollars. I remember one time one devotee, he was living on the outside, and he had an apartment, and it cost $2,000, the apartment, a month. So it was a $2,000 apartment, but it was just one room, You know, the whole, about the size of this, you know, he had a couple of rooms all together about the size of this room. And it was just an ordinary place, nothing special. But because it was on the 75th floor in Manhattan, therefore he had paid $2,000 a month. So when it's making so much money, and in Manhattan you can't even own a car, practically speaking, it's not worth it. Someone would steal it anyhow if you had one. Or someone would take a razor blade and carve their initials in it. Therefore, he's making so much money just living in an ordinary room, and he's happy that he's spending so much money for the apartment. Anywhere else, it would cost $25 a month. He's paying $2,000, and he's thinking he's very advanced. Therefore, one may make so much money in modern civilization, a so-called technological society, and it's simply spent for the same thing, eating and sleeping. But one is thinking he's advanced. Therefore, in order to take care of this problem of materialistic civilization, Prahlad Maharaj appears after Krishna comes and kills this demon of sense gratification. Therefore, those who are devotees are always praying that my material desires, who are like wasp-like material desires, will be destroyed by the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And they're always praying that way. And those who are demons, they're executing so many austerities, going through so much inconvenience, praying to God or his representative, such as Lord Brahma, that one day they can get the facility so that they can go to hell. So to go to hell, to be put into anxiety for sense gratification, also requires so much austerity and endeavor. But the result is that one is simply suffering. On the other hand, if one is always tolerating and going on praying, as Lord Brahma prays, tat sadu manyes tate nukampam susamikshamano bunjana evatma kritam vipakam ridvag vapuvira vidadan namaste viveta yo bhukti sade sadayava. If one tolerates the problems of material existence, caused by one's previous activities, and at the same time within his heart goes on praying for the mercy of Krishna, then one day Krishna will come and deliver one from the wasp-like afflictions of the Hiranyakashipu, our material desires. And the result is that Prahlad will emerge, which is our real self, our blissful self, and then there's no more problems. So in the verse in the Bhagavad Gita, where it says, Paritranaya sarunam vinashaya tridiskritam dharma samstapanartaya sambhavami yuge yuge, that Krishna is coming to deliver the pious and to annihilate the miscreants. So the question is that if one is already a devotee, then he must be already delivered. Because the definition of devotee is that he's above the material nature, and so therefore Krishna has already delivered him. So why is it that Krishna has to come in form such as of Lord Narsingadev to deliver his devotee Prahlad? As we can see, Prahlad was put into so many difficulties, put into a pot of boiling oil, thrown over a cliff, fed poison, but he was always absorbed in Krishna consciousness, he was undisturbed. So why is it that Lord Narsingadev came and delivered him? So the reason is that Narsingadev comes and delivers devotees such as Prahlad just to give his darshan, or his audience. That the devotees, they have no material pangs because they're on the transcendental platform, but still their anxiety because they want to have Krishna's association. So just to give his association, Krishna enacts a pastime such as the form of Narsingadev, just to give devotees such as Prahlad Maharaj his transcendental association, just to fulfill his desire. Therefore, we should pray. We should develop that anxiety to have Krishna's association by engaging his transcendental service. Pray to become delivered from the afflictions of our material desires by taking complete shelter of Krishna. And the result is that if we do take shelter of Krishna, Krishna will automatically come and bless us with his transcendental association. And then the Haranyakashipu-like desires of our heart will immediately vanquish. So we'll stop there. Thank you. Are there any questions? Yes. No, it's not. As we can see that Nara Sringha, he may have a place in Vaikuntha, but he doesn't have his own planet there. The predominating deities in Vaikuntha are the Narayan forms. But he assumes these are Leela incarnations, pastime incarnations, for specific purposes in the material world. They're going on eternally, practically speaking, because the material world is eternal. But as far as displaying, obviously doesn't display such pastimes in Vaikuntha, otherwise he wouldn't have had to have Jai and Vijay come here. As far as Krishna walking around angry, this is his pastime. Even if he was walking around angry, he'd still be blissful. Anything else? Not exactly. Not that Krishna created a few conditioned souls so he can do his thing here in the material world. No, these are pastimes. Krishna doesn't need the material world to do anything. He's asamvardhana. He's complete within himself. But because he does have desires, therefore when he arranges things in the material world sometimes to fulfill those desires also. But even without it, he can still fulfill his desires. When he wants to fight with someone, he gets into a quarrel with Srimati Radharani, and that's good enough for him. Liberated souls.
No, but I know yet.
Oh, I see. You're going to try again. Well, we have to assimilate the knowledge. We can't. If we know that Krishna doesn't enjoy in the material world, then we can understand that he's not enjoying sense gratification. But the last one of that is called Anandamaya Abhyasa, his ever blissful pleasure. So he does enjoy the last one. But to help the conditioned souls give up the lower ones and gradually come to the higher ones, he's expanding the material world. So the material world is a place meant to rectify the conditioned soul so they can actually become useful participants in the Anandamaya Abhyasa. Therefore, in one sense, it is to help Krishna expand his transcendental pleasure. because it rectifies the conditioned souls and brings them up to the platform of Anamaya Abhyasa, where they can actually give Krishna pleasure. He obviously didn't create the material world just to torture the living entities. It has a purpose behind it. And the purpose is ultimately pleasure. His pleasure and the pleasure of the living entities. Yes. Right. And I'm trying to become the servant too. Anything else? All right, we'll stop there. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Lord Nrsingadev ki jai. Gaur Premanande.